You are listening to Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Okay, Savannah. I see you.
Politics as usual.
I see. I see.
Truth Nation, the election season is in full swing, and we need to have an insightful discussion on the political issues that matter to the Black community. This is why we will be debuting The Truth on Politics on Tuesday, August 27th from 6 to 8 p.m. on The Truth. This monthly show will be a Truth Family Roundtable, which will engage in a thoughtful debate on the local elections, policies which impact you all, and break down everything you need to know about the upcoming 2024 presidential election. Do not miss the debut of The Truth on Politics on Tuesday, August 27th. We got a couple of people that will be joining.
I'll be on that first episode.
I'll be on that first episode.
Yeah. So August 27th from 6 to 8 right here on The Truth. It'll be Dr. Ken Harris hosting along with Sherwin Hughes, myself, Tori Lowe, and the lovely Bailey Coleman on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth, Milwaukee Black Talk. And I am really looking forward to that. It's a monthly show, and there will be different participants in the roundtable. It's called, again, The Truth on Politics. And it does give us a platform to talk about things the way,
right,
through a Black lens.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of times people don't really want to have these type of discussions or think that they don't matter. But I am really looking forward, yeah, to being a part of that and hopefully breaking down some of the things that you should know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And I know I used to do that for my mom. My mom really didn't, you know, understand everything that they were saying on TV. But, mm-hmm, you know, after we watched the story, I was like, listen here, Mom, this is what they're saying.
Right, right.
And then when I would break it down like that, she'd be, mm-hmm, like, oh. And so you have more opinions and ideas when you,
right,
understand what's going on.
Right.
Like, if you just sit here and you don't know what's going on and they're talking about policies and this and that, you're like, I don't, you know, how,
right,
is this affecting me?
Exactly.
So hopefully The Truth on Politics, which will debut next Tuesday, August 27th from 6 to 8, will give an opportunity to give more clarity, if nothing,
yeah,
else.
Yeah, because, I mean, when we're on now, you know, we get a chance to kind of glaze over the topics, you know, because we want to hit different topics in,
right,
the morning. But this will be a full out, you know, here's the election situation. Here's what's going on kind of deal. So I look forward to, especially that first, you know, that first being on that first one. It's a great opportunity to explore current day politics, what's going on, the presidential election, you know, all of that.
Yeah. So, again, the Democratic National Convention kicks off today in Chicago, in the great city of Chicago. But Madam Vice President Kamala Harris isn't taking anything for granted. And we've talked about this several times before.
Yeah.
If Hillary Clinton didn't tell her or school her or anything else,
mm-hmm,
she was like, look, do not take Wisconsin for granted.
Exactly. See, like, that's what we were talking about.
Yeah,
that.
We ain't going to do that
again. We ain't finna do that.
And the one thing that I love about that is the fact that she is taking her advice,
exactly,
and running with it.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, she's not like, ah, you know, I'll be good, or,
no,
you know, I've been there three times already.
Right.
Nope.
Not at all.
And during the week, during the DNC, Madam Vice President Kamala Harris will be in Milwaukee, I want to say on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Tuesday or Wednesday? Tuesday. Yes, Tuesday at Fiserv Forum. It has been confirmed. And that's the other
part.
Look,
tell Tony when he come in on Wednesday. See? Listen to your girl, you know? She may not go all the way over to 100% over to the north side, but guess what? Fiserv Forum is close enough.
Hey, look,
everybody can come out.
And well, I know something everyone else can't do, and that is have an NBA arena to hold a doggone rally.
Now
Trump can say everything about AI generated crowds or whatever, but I have never heard anyone come in, including President Biden, to have and hold a rally. And just look at the fact that the last time she was in Milwaukee, she was at West Allis Central High School.
Right.
And then they clearly realized, that ain't gonna work.
A bigger spot.
So
because remember, they had switched that location too to take it there because they needed a bigger place.
Thought that was gonna be sufficient, and it was not. And so again,
well, before they had booked it, she was just the vice president. Then she became the presidential nominee, and that changed the game.
Yes. So now the we know the momentum since announcing. Well, President Biden announcing that he was stepping aside, and Madam Vice President Kamala Harris was going to be at the top of the ticket. There's been a lot of campaigning, a lot of momentum, a lot of support. But the one backlash that she has been getting is she hasn't been doing a lot of press. She hasn't done any one-on-one interviews. She hasn't really unveiled a lot that she is going to do if she is elected president. Well, recently, well, over the weekend, she responded to that, and she started to unveil bits and pieces of what I think we're going to hear the full package come Thursday when she speaks in Chicago. But here is a little bit of what she says she will do if elected president.
We'll help families deal with rising costs. And that's by letting you keep more of your hard-earned money. Under my plan, more than 100 million Americans will get a tax cut. And we will do this by restoring two tax cuts designed to help middle-class and working Americans. The Earned Income Tax Credit and the Child Tax Credit. Through which millions of Americans with children got to keep more of their hard-earned income. We know this works. I will help families deal with rising. We'll work to pass the first ever federal ban on price gouging on food. My plan will include new penalties for opportunistic companies that exploit crises and break the rules. And we will support smaller food businesses that are trying to play by the rules and get ahead.
So that was Madam Vice President Kamala Harris revealing some of the things that she will implore if she is elected president. The first one, again, is giving families a $6,000 tax relief. And also for first-time homeowners or home buyers, a $25,000 down payment assistance.
That's dope.
Yeah.
So those are two things that she, Madam Vice President, said she would do if elected president. What are you guys' thoughts and reactions to that?
I think, you know, I was quiet for most of when y'all was talking about. I want to make sure I say her name right, because they went off on that white lady on TV for saying her name wrong, and I don't want to be in that same boat. Kamala. Because I don't want to say Kamala. I don't want to
be disrespectful.
you know, I'm on record for not being a Kamala fan, but I'm not a Trump fan either. I don't like either party at this point. But what she's saying right there is important, and the fact that she's offering something up is important. She's like you were talking about her not making the mistakes of Hillary Clinton. Well, one of the mistakes Hillary Clinton made was not offering up substantial ideas, and she's coming out and she's offering up these substantial ideas of what she would do, and not just the fact that she isn't Trump. And so what are you going to do? And when I've run campaigns in the past, and whenever I run a campaign, we never mention the opponent. Mm-hmm. I don't care who it is. I don't care what they're doing. When I send a candidate to a door, we not even finna talk about the other dude. We finna talk about what we gonna do and how we gonna do it and how well we gonna do it. And if we do that well, it doesn't even matter what that other person is talking about. You know, so I'm glad that she's finally offering up ideas and she's just not saying I'm not Trump.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Bailey?
Well, that's a cardinal rule, not mentioning the competitive, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the right thing to do. I mean, you just want to talk. You there to talk about what your candidate mm-hmm. or what you are doing and not everybody else's whatever. And I think she has avoided that as much as she could during this campaign. And I think it's good. I think that, you know, it's a good thing that she's putting proposals and ideas out there. And it's funny because everybody is, it's just like when Joe Biden was running, everybody expected him to lay everything out and put everything out there, just like they're expecting her to. But nobody's asking that of Donald Trump because they know he's not going to do that. He was the first candidate in my lifetime that I've ever noticed didn't have a platform, didn't have nothing he was running on, but nobody was asking him for that either.
Right.
Everybody was asking for that of the other candidates, you mm-hmm. know, the Democratic independent candidates, all of those people. All of those people had to put out their platform like normal. He never had to do it.
Yeah, that's very true, and still doesn't.
And because, still doesn't, yeah.
It has turned into not what I am planning on doing. Let's attack her. And what right. is so funny is, like, you have become so good and an expert at attacking people that mm-hmm. that's your campaign.
Yeah.
That's not, I mean, it's not just a part of your campaign. It is your campaign.
Right.
We need to find something on her. And the commercials, oh, my gosh. These yeah. commercials are so ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, Kamala Harris, the liberal prosecutor who let this killer go, and he chopped up a family, and it's all because of her. Yeah. Like,
way
really?
Too late. I saw that about, liberal laughing
about Tammy
Kamala.
Baldwin. Tammy Baldwin is, and they're using the same thing for Kamala and Kamala. Make sure I say her name right.
Just think of Kamala, and then La.
Kamala.
Kamala.
Like Tamala.
Yeah.
I keep trying it in my mind because it's
yeah.
Kamala.
So it's like Tamala, but it's Kamala. Okay, listen. They keep running these ads and fear-mongering and doing all of this stuff, and it's ridiculous on both sides. And,
yeah.
and it's ridiculous when they do that. And I agree with what you're saying. They should just focus on what you're going to do. And that's what I love about – I ain't going to – the higher, when you look at a politician, it's like looking at a preacher. You want your preacher to be the best of you. You don't want your preacher to be the worst of you. You don't want your preacher in the pulpit talking about, and Sister Edna be digging in the nose all of the time. And over, you don't want that. You want him to be up there being positive and being introspective and being thought-provoking. That's what you want your politician to do.
Yeah.
And they're not doing it.
Yeah. 833-212-1017. Become a part of this conversation. Just hit us up on our True Talk and text line. Also, you can stream and watch us live on YouTube at 1017 The Truth and 1017thetruth.com. We will continue this conversation on the other side of the break. The DNC has kicked off in Chicago, and man, do they have a star-studded lineup for this week. We'll get into that on the other side of the break. Keep it locked right here on Truth Be Told with DT and Telly.
Don't touch that dial. Truth Be Told with DT and Telly will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Just me and you, ooh, baby. Just me and you, just the two. Just me and you, ooh, baby.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Truth Be Told with DT and Telly. Bailey Coleman, Damian LZ in the building. We've been talking about the DNC, which kicks off today in Chicago, and we've been getting some messages on our YouTube message board. City Boy says, did you all not get invited to the DNC? City Boy, yes, actually, we were invited, but after doing the RNC, we realize that's a lot to have to go through on a daily basis. And I mean, thankfully, the RNC was in Milwaukee, because if it wasn't, we probably wouldn't have gone to RNC.
And it was across the street.
Yes.
Not only in Milwaukee, but right across the street from, you know.
And we have heard that, well, I heard that they were only going to have one checkpoint near the United Center.
Ooh.
Now, we had five in downtown Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Now, I hope that's going to change. Maybe that was just on Sunday, and then they were going to open up more, you know, today. But
I heard it's going to be like a whole, like they did down here, a whole secure area. And I don't know, is it like that at every national convention? Is it like that where they secure the downtown area like that? And they Or is it just this year, or has it always been like that?
No, it's always been secured, but... the tricky thing about it being in Chicago, it's at the United Center, which is in technically downtown.
Mm-hmm.
But you have other things going on at McCormick Place.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have...
I'm surprised they didn't actually have it there.
That's what I thought,
because
too.
Because it's so much bigger.
Yeah,
it's so,
it's so
much more space,
yeah,
you know.
Yes.
Whereas the United Center, I'm like, and that's... The United Center ain't far from the hood right there.
Exactly.
That's the hood right there.
Yes.
It's right there.
I've been down there.
You roll down the wrong direction, man.
I mean,
I tell you.
United Center is one of the bigger NBA arenas, but you're right. It's still... I mean, McCormick Place, it seemed like it would have been a better location, but that's kind of like how... You know, here we use the Baird Center, we use UW Panther Arena, as well as Fiserv, where most of the main events will go on at the United Center, but the other things will go on at McCormick Place.
Oh,
but
okay.
Before the break, I mentioned the lineup of speakers this week, and you're going to have everyone from former President Bill Clinton, former President Barack Obama. You're going to have Madam Secretary Hillary Clinton.
Is Michelle on the list? I bet Michelle,
Michelle is not on the list.
Michelle ain't on the list.
Because they don't want you to see what you could have had.
Michelle!
Yeah.
Come on, girl.
They're not
going to
do that.
This time, they're going to let her husband handle this.
Because they don't want you to see what you could have had.
Man.
They don't want you to have buyer's remorse.
Man.
Because I'm a big Michelle Obama fan. I'm not a Kamala fan. I'm a big Michelle Obama fan, but that's neither here nor there.
So what is it? What is it going to take for you now that she is starting to reveal some of the things that she has in mind or has in store, and she's not, she's further removing herself from the Biden-Harris ticket. Mm-hmm. And trying to create her own path with the Harris-Waltz ticket.
I think she needs to do some of those interviews and answer some of those questions that the community has for her regarding certain things that have happened in her past, and just answer those questions regarding what she's going to do moving forward. About, she can't be afraid of answering questions as to what she's going to do for the Black community. I'm sick of politicians saying, oh, we can't just do something for Black people. Well, white people do it all the time. So what do you can't be scared of what you're going to do for the inner cities, because that is the main problem facing America as it moves forward, is how it's going to deal with its bigger cities and its major cities. So I see nothing wrong with saying, this is what I'm going to do to help the major cities and to help these people get ahead, and saying the $25,000 for home ownership, first time home ownership, that's going to help a lot of Black people.
Yeah.
And so I'm with that. You know, what are you going to do? And too many times we are handing the keys to the vehicle without getting any type of assurances from these politicians as to what they're going to do when they get to drive in the vehicle. What you going to do? You going to run through red lights? I need to know how you drive before I hand you the keys to the vehicle. And that's all I'm saying. Let's learn how she drives.
And
we can only learn that if she's taking interviews, answering questions, and being forthright and being upcoming and being truthful about what she's doing.
Yeah, and I think that the debate stage will allow that platform to happen. But again, this is you know, been about a month now since she has been on the campaign trail, and you're right, people are getting a little antsy about, all right, we know you're not Trump. But who are you? And, you know, what are you trying to do? And for her to start to kind of do that, but I still think that this week is going to be huge.
It's going to be.
Because she is, I mean, when she accepts the nomination officially on Thursday, I think that, you know, she needs to bring it. And no one wants to hear about, okay, we understand you are not Donald Trump, but who are you?
This is going to be make or break for her, because what you have to realize is she didn't have the luxury of having a primary where Biden had the first time he ran. He's been president for 4 years, so we know what he has to offer. We know what he's going to do. She doesn't have that. She's just going to walk up there, accept this. Accept this nomination, but she hasn't had a primary. She hasn't been able to be on the campaign trail talking her talk. She's been talking Biden's talk up until like a month ago.
Yeah.
So she should have, but regardless of that, that first week after she got the nomination, she should have had, this is what I want to do. Y'all make this happen. This is what I want to do. Go make the plan for this. This is what I want to do. Go make the plan for that. You got to jump on it.
Yeah.
And it's been a month now, and we haven't heard anything from her. And Trump is Trump. We know what he is. He don't have to say nothing because he ain't going to do nothing. So he don't have to say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. The only thing Trump is saying is, I'm a rich white man, and don't you want to be rich too? Yeah. I can help you be that. That's all he's saying to these people.
Well, I've been smiling over here because after some further research, Dame, you're going to love to hear this. So according to a source, convention organizers released night-by-night themes and speaker details on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
One speaker who's not on the official agenda, but sources has confirmed, will take the stage on Tuesday. Former First Lady Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
She gonna take the stage with Obama, right?
So
Michelle. Here she comes.
Yes, that'll be the same.
She gonna walk out
there. That'll be the same day. So tonight, the theme is For the People.
Uh-huh.
President Biden and Dr. Jill Biden will speak, along with former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and a welcome from Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson. Tuesday, tomorrow's theme. A bold vision for America's future. Former President Barack Obama plus second gentleman Doug Emhoff with a welcome from Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. And that person that is not on that agenda right now is former First Lady Michelle Obama.
But
we will see.
She's going to walk out there with
Obama. If she will take the stage tomorrow. And on Wednesday, the theme is A Fight for Our Freedoms. Vice presidential nominee Tim Walz delivers his acceptance speech, preceded by former President Clinton, Speaker Emerita. I hope I'm saying that right. Nancy Pelosi,
emeritus.
Former Speaker.
Emeritus. You had
it
right.
But it's not that for a female, apparently. But anyway, and Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg.
Did you say second gentleman?
That's what he is, second gentleman.
Why he ain't first gentleman?
He'll be first gentleman if she becomes the president.
Okay.
Yeah, he's second gentleman.
Because he's the vice president's husband. Because
she's the vice, yes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Truth Nation, let us know what you think of these speakers that will be speaking in Chicago at the DNC. 833-212-1017. Let us know what you think. And we will continue this on the other side of the break. Again, it is a star-studded week that is in store down in Chicago for the Democratic National Convention, which opens tonight. And President Biden will be speaking in prime time, and he is expected to pass the torch to Madam Vice President Kamala Harris. We'll have more on this on the other side of the break. Keep it locked right here on Truth Be Told with DT and Telly.
More of Truth Be Told with DT and Telly is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what?
What years was he there?
Early 90s.
Early 90s?
Yeah. Sorry, we bring it up.
Sorry,
off break conversation the air. But yes, we were talking about HBCUs and the impact. Of course, Madam Vice President Kamala Harris attended Howard University, and she is going to accept the Democratic presidential nomination. Somebody else went to Howard in this studio, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, she letting me know.
That's what's up.
I made it there.
My daughter, I think she just went back to law school. Well, I know she did. She, because her boyfriend's birthday is today. Shout out to America for his birthday. But she just went back to Howard today. So her third year of law school.
Oh, wow. Nice. Yep. Nice.
Yeah, wow.
That's what's up.
And her mother graduated. Her mother went to Howard, and you know, it's Howard is.
That's what's up. I just found out somebody in my family went to Howard. I had no idea. My aunt went to Howard. I had no idea. I literally found out over the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. So, Madam Vice President, once again, will accept the Democratic nomination for president on Thursday, but she'll be in the mill on Tuesday. Tomorrow, she will be right here at Fiserv Forum.
What time is that?
Ah, good question.
Because she's going to be here, and they're going to be having the convention down there.
But see, here's the thing with that. At the RNC, it's not typical that the candidate is there all 4 days.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Trump, I think, was just trying to cool off after being shot at.
After supposedly being shot in the ear.
Yeah.
Something right.
So
like that.
He was here all 4 days just soaking in all the adulation, but... Technically, you're only supposed, well, most candidates only go there for when it's time for them to accept the nomination.
But you still can't do stuff.
Yeah, but also think about the fact that they have time to do things earlier in the day, so it's probably going to be scheduled earlier.
Yeah, and it's only
an hour and a half away.
So Savannah just told me 2 p.m.
Yeah,
the rally will be here.
Because it ain't on TV till like 7.
Down. Yeah, it's nothing to get down to Chicago from here.
Especially with the police escort shutting down the freeway the whole way.
She ain't got to take the Amtrak down.
Exactly.
Or she ain't going to get caught in traffic.
Exactly. Ain't going to be no traffic for them.
yes. So we've been getting a lot of smoke on our YouTube message board. Keep the comments coming in. We definitely love when you are a part of the conversation. Nelson says, what is she supposed to do specifically for black people that won't benefit everyone? When we come up with a collective agenda backed with our money and voting power, holding her accountable. What do you think about that, Dave?
I don't get what he's saying, but I hear what he's saying. Say it. Listen.
You want me to? I'll repeat it.
Repeat it. I was listening.
Nelson says, what is she supposed to do specifically for black people that won't benefit everyone? When we come up with a collective agenda backed with our money and voting power, holding her accountable.
Prison reform, police reform, all the issues that affect black people. When you have black people are arrested at a higher rate, no matter what, and we are the smaller population, but we're filling up the prisons, then, prison reform is definitely for black people. Home ownership, what she's trying to do with the $25,000 down payment. Black people don't own enough homes, and historically in America we've been prevented from owning homes, and that allows for you to improve your economic stance in America is having home ownership. That's how all of these white people got money with the Homestead Act when they came from whatever, and then when the veterans came back from World War II, they got homes. I'm not gonna go into all the history, but I'm just saying that's part of it. There are a number of things that can be done for black people, and I just named two of them, and those are the two most important things that we need: police reform and prison reform. That is the most important, and home ownership third. There you go. Boom.
Yeah. Well, Nelson goes on to say she is still VP with voting duties on the Hill. Her campaign literally is 3 weeks old and on fire. Presser excuses are low-key shade. She has the convention and a website that details her plan.
That's excuses.
All right.
Okay. Well, let me jump in and say this.
We need to stop making excuses for our leaders and start making them do stuff. stop making excuses and start making them do stuff, period. Okay, go ahead.
Well, yeah, she has a website that has her platform on it, right? Okay, mm-hmm. That's cool. So anyway, low-key, a lot of people don't know this, but the Biden administration has put out some, there are some programs out there for people of color to help you get a home. And I mean, like with sometimes up to $150,000, $160,000 down payment. So everybody, you know, you need to look into those things because there are, and you have to be a minority. That's first and foremost. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, people should look into, you know, what is out there now as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is. I mean, there's a lot that.
Oh, by the way, it's for first-time home buyers.
Yes, first-time home buyers. And just like, and I will give Madam Vice President Kamala Harris her credit for saying that, hey, she understands she's getting all these donations and getting all this support, but there's still a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
And there's very little time to do it. Mm-hmm. And kudos to the way that she has been hitting the campaign trail.
Yeah.
Really spending a lot of time in these battleground states.
Yeah.
And again, she will have this Thursday night to lay out everything.
Mm-hmm.
And because even when she starts to unveil a few things here and there, they get attacked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like when she said, I don't want to tax tips.
Right.
You know, for workers in the service industry. And as soon as she said that, Trump was like, I already said I was going to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like,
right.
So,
right.
Anytime that, and going by your model, Dame, where you're not even going to mention your opponent, but there's only so much that you're going to be able to just take. If he's constantly attacking everything that you say, at some point you're gonna have to say something.
You gotta say your slick comments. You gotta do whatever.
You gotta throw them
let me just to say this. Did you know, because I saw that about the tipping stuff, so I want to look some stuff up, that tipping was initially what they did to not have to pay black people in those service industry jobs the regular money that they were supposed to be getting. So when black people would work as, 10,000 men named George, when they would pull men and when they would work for, be waiters and waitresses, or they would be whatever they did that would be in the service industry, that in order to help those white people that own those businesses not have to pay those black people, they would say, okay, now you working off of tips. So you're working just for what you can get. So that was something that was created to help white business owners and not pay black people. So again, not taxing tips, maybe that's helping. That's something that you could say black people are doing. Or you could just say service industry employees need to get paid a regular hour wage and forget a tip. You know, don't even worry about the tip. You want a tip? Tip. But they should be getting paid $18, $20 an hour regardless of what they do. Thank you.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes I like to say thank you because I jumped off my soapbox. Thank you. You feel me, Savannah? I was like, thank you.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that you say is very important to you and a lot of black people is police reform, prison reform. And speaking of both, the former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, y'all remember him.
That's
right?
When they kneeled on George.
Yeah. Well, apparently he's had to move to a new federal prison after being stabbed.
He gonna have to keep moving.
What?
Yeah. Not only he got stabbed, Bailey, he got stabbed a lot.
They tried to kill him
22 times to be exact.
Wow, I'm surprised he survived that.
Was personal.
Oh no, they're gonna keep doing that.
But I was police about to say, I don't care where you go. So here is the official report. So according to Fox News, Derek Chauvin has been transferred from the federal prison in Tucson, Arizona, to a facility in Oklahoma City. Per a post by Chauvin's mother, the move is temporary and the location of his new permanent home is not clear. Reports state an unnamed inmate was charged with attempted murder for stabbing Chauvin 22 times in a law library last year in the Tucson prison using an improvised knife. Some of us on the streets would call that a shank.
A shank.
He got shanked. And I'm surprised. And they said that happened last year, and he's just now recovering from it or something like that, probably. And they're moving him. But,
well,
but I'm surprised he's still alive.
He recovered.
I'm surprised he's still alive.
Yeah.
You know, he, first of all, he's a police officer.
Yep.
And he's in jail.
Yep.
And he's the one that killed George Floyd.
Yeah.
And so I'm surprised. Not that, you know, I'm advocating for him to be murdered, but I'm just saying I'm just surprised that he's
they
gotta
put
alive.
Him if he's gonna stay
not,
alive,
he's in
he got any
custody.
Chance. He gotta be yeah,
but
he gotta be in solitary, right?
But that's so he has I think he's serving 30 years or,
yeah.
or something like that. So you say the entire 30 years, they ain't gonna come on, man. They ain't gonna be spending that much money on protective custody because there's more money that has to be spent when you're protecting someone like
right,
that, as
right.
opposed to just having them in general population,
right.
you know. So,
and he in a Fed prison, so that's different as well. That ain't the same as, you know, a state prison. Fed prison is, you know, it's supposed to be a little better, right? And so he should be able to get it, but I don't, no.
Yeah, I think that that this to me is the harsh reminder of how police reform was so important at one point, and then it just went by the wayside. And when we come back, I'll get into why it bothered me, because we were screaming for police reform, and then they say, oh, we're going to make Juneteenth a national federal
holiday.
Right,
I remember that.
And it's like, wait a minute. We weren't even asking for that.
Exactly.
You know,
and it came out of nowhere.
It came absolutely out of nowhere, which, in my opinion, was a deflection of the real issues.
Absolutely.
And when we come back, we will continue this conversation. Police reform, Derek Chauvin go keep getting transferred. He's like the kid that keeps getting bullied at school, and they just feel like they can transfer schools. It ain't the school, buddy.
It ain't the school.
Is you.
No.
Exactly.
When we come back, we'll continue this conversation. Keep it locked right here on Truth Be Told with DT and Telly.
This is Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Bailey, do you know, 206, that's Seattle.
That's Seattle.
Yeah, someone's out there early this morning.
My people. Shout out to my peeps.
Your people is like, hey, look, great to hear Bailey on the air this morning.
Yeah, shout out to my siblings. You know, we got the whole Western Seaboard out there, so we good. Shout out to Seattle folks.
Like,
you're there early. My sister texted me a few minutes ago, and, you know, there's lots of programs that we were talking about earlier with regard to home ownership and stuff like that. And that's how I found out about it, because I got a cousin that's a realtor, and she contacted my nieces and nephews, blah, blah, blah. There are programs, especially, you know, for young adults. So,
well, I got a question, and please relate this to your siblings, your sister, and anyone else that in real estate. Why is it that there are only programs for first-time home buyers? Sometime when you buy your second home, you need a little program too. Right?
Right. There are programs for those as well.
Okay.
But there's more first time because they're trying to get more people in homes.
Yeah.
You know, more people that are living in these apartment dwellings and that kind of stuff to, you know, so that they can be planted.
You start off
in
with interest
area.
Rates
yeah.
going down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, you know what? Actually, recently they have. But yeah, I get what you're saying too.
Yeah.
Now it's like, you know,
when you
it's
do,
better now than it has been.
Yeah. Right.
When you develop a program of any type, you have to find ways of making it hit demographic that you wanted to hit without saying, like, I can't say this is just for black people, but I have to develop the program in that it just says so that it hits black people the most. Whether it be, I just put, this is for this zip code, where this zip code has 85% black people. So you know they're going to take a part of it. Whether it be first-time homeowners, whether it be a lot of black people who of any age don't own stuff, they can say, we're gonna do this and do that. Sometimes you can't just say, this is just for black people, this is just for that, because federal regulations won't let you.
This is a black home initiative for black home ownership. Now, it's in the state of Washington, and it is for black homeowners.
Wisconsin.
No, but I'm sure Wisconsin has its own.
Well, you can't be sure.
I'm sure you
could look around, but I'm sure that there are programs that target minorities.
And is that from the government? Because I know as a government, you can't say this is just for black people. You can't do that. Or they'll knock it out.
It's from it's from Washington State. So it's within Washington State, and it's the Washington State government that's doing it.
Gotcha. So, well, one of the things that Damian has made clear that he would love to hear from Vice President Kamala Harris is something about police reform, prison reform, and hopefully this week will be that week where you will get more of those things. Again, she will be here in Milwaukee tomorrow afternoon at Fiserv Forum, and then she will officially accept the Democratic nomination for President of the United States on Thursday in Chicago. But before break, I was talking about when the whole George Floyd murder took place, we were constantly protesting and marching about police reform. And it was really hot. It was in the forefront of everybody's minds, and then it just went away. Now, what would you like to hear if Madam Vice President Kamala Harris came back and say, hey, we are going to recreate the George Floyd police reform bill that never took place, by the way.
Will never pass,
right. What would be your thoughts about that when you also have another candidate, your competitor, that's talking about giving police full immunity?
Well, see, yeah. That's the opposite of what the George Floyd bill does. The George Floyd bill removes that immunity. I would want to see that, because some police officers get, it's not where they get immunity. It's just like they don't get, it's difficult. It's not like, okay, they don't get immunity where it's just, it's hard to explain. But it's not like immunity like what he's talking about. But, yeah, remove that. Remove where they have to be, where they can be charged for certain things automatically. Also, you have to have a national database where police officers go into this database. What happens too often is, and this is what happened with the Miss Massey that was killed not too long ago, that police officer had been doing stuff in other police districts. But they don't have a national database, and so their record doesn't follow them from spot to spot.
So they don't have a national database, but
no,
I can get a warrant,
and it follows you everywhere you go.
In Illinois, and I get pulled over in Louisiana, I'm going to jail because there's a warrant out for my arrest.
Right.
So you can have a national database for that, but you can't have one for a cop that's going around killing folks. Anyway,
right.
I'm not going to stay in that right now. We are running out of show. It is time now for our truth of the matter. That's when we give you our takes away from the topics that we have discussed throughout the show. As always, we'll have our guests go first and ladies go first. Bailey Coleman, what is your truth of the matter?
Okay. Everybody needs to remember, politicians are depending on the public's memory being short-lived. So when we have these things like we want gun reform, we want police reform, all of those things, you can't just let a promise or a gift of a new holiday to take away to take away what you're planning on and what your goals are. Mm. There we go.
All right, Dane, what is your truth of the matter?
My truth of the matter is I looked up what I was trying to say about the immunity. It's qualified immunity, where they can't be sued and they can't be taken to court for things that they do on the job as an official. So with that being said, I would like to hear more of these politicians about what they're going to do to reform police, reform prison action. And I'm looking forward to Thursday hearing what Kamala has to say about these issues.
Yes. Good truth of the matter. My truth of the matter is not being distracted and allowing things to deflect you from what you want to happen. And I was so disappointed when that happened, when Juneteenth was passed as a federal holiday. And it was right in the midst of what we really needed at that particular time, and that was police reform. And if that would have taken place, maybe Devontae Mitchell will still be here today. Maybe so many others would be here today because of the acts of Sonya Massey would be here. If there was more accountability for police in doing and committing crimes while having a badge on. So I would love to hear some of those same things take place, Damien, and hopefully between her visit here at Fiserv Forum tomorrow at 2 p.m. and Thursday night when she accepts the Democratic nomination, we will hear some of those things. But just because we're not talking about it doesn't mean that it has gone away, and it is something that we definitely need again. You would have Sonya Massey, you would have Devontae Mitchell still with us if these things were put in place. So that is my truth of the matter, and that is our time this morning. Thank you again, Bailey. Thank you again, Damien, for coming in. I got a feeling we're going to probably see y'all again a little later.
We've been here a lot this last week.
Yeah, we have. So,
high five.
So, yes, yes, the tag team does it again.
Hey,
thank you.
Back again.
Thank you, Savannah. Great job as always. That'll do it for us. Up next is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. Peace out.
It's crazy. We both.